I thought it was just happening.
Coming to you live from the city that time forgot, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now, your favorite blacksmith, here's Nate.
Bringing the 14s back. The 1814s.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Sure. When Sacramento was nothing but a place where natives roamed freely about.
I think by 1814 it was a pretty...
Really?
Yeah.
But
I think so. I've been to Sutter's Fort and read stuff.
Oh, you're edumacated.
Were we part of Mexico in 1814?
No, I don't.
We were definitely not America yet.
Yeah, but I don't think Mexico. I don't think the Mexico part came this far north. I don't know.
No, I could be wrong.
It did. Yeah, well, whatever. How'd that work out
and
for them?
Someday.
We've educated our audience about California history. Yeah. You're welcome.
Hey, coming up on the show, we've got some weird TripAdvisor reviews. A note for vegans, and a Major League Baseball player was sold American. Welcome back, everybody. We are back from our holiday break.
Happy New Year.
That was so beautiful.
That's why this year is going to be all singing shows, right? That's the big news.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You caught me.
Don't cancel your subscription,
guys. You caught me.
You got us.
You got us.
So,
let's... I'm done.
Thank you. Did anybody else travel for the holidays, like any distance at all? I know you guys went to the Bay Area.
Went to Walnut Creek.
We went to Nice, California.
Nice, California.
Oh, yeah, I want to hear about that. You were in
not
a caboose,
Nice?
I think.
No.
Okay.
No. I need to know where you stayed because it was a caboose or something. Yes. What's up with that?
We stayed at Featherbed Railroad, which is on Clear Lake in Nice, California. And Featherbed Railroad is a bed and breakfast that has 10 caboose cars.
That's so cool.
Real caboose cars.
And you sleep in the caboose. And the caboose has now been like remodeled with a... like queen-size bed and a jacuzzi tub.
Oh. And a bathroom.
And a view of the lake. So it was nice. Well, we didn't get the lover's caboose. I tried to get the lover's caboose. It was Ted's 40th birthday, and they have one called the lover's caboose that comes with like rose petals and chocolate and blah, blah, blah. But that one had been booked well in advance, I was advised. Oh. So instead, we got the wine country themed caboose that had sort of like the faux grapes and the wine bottles and all that. So that
and
was very fun.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
You will rose petals and chocolate and blah, blah, blah were in the other one.
Oh,
never mind.
Right. I get it.
Got innuendo, but I may have overread into that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure any caboose lover's caboose.
Right?
As long as there's fellatio.
No, my best friend, I told her I didn't get the lover's caboose, and she was like, that's okay. You can still do it in the caboose. And I was like, thank you. Happy birthday, Ted.
Wait, is it?
Is that what you got him?
He always wanted to do it in a really uncomfortable place. What, like the back of a VW Bug? No, somebody else watched Mallrats.
No. Yes.
Oh,
it's a bad movie.
What?
A classically bad
movie.
The
Schooner.
There's no... With Mallrats, you either... Kevin Smith fans either love Mallrats or hate Mallrats.
I love it.
And I hate it.
Aw.
So that's how the world works.
That's why the show's interesting.
It's true. If we agreed on everything, it would be quite dull.
I agree,
Nate.
See?
Oh, crap.
Just like that.
Okay, you gotta say no.
So... I traveled back to Vermont for the holidays, and good God!
Sorry, I watched White Christmas also.
It was something because they had an ice storm on the East Coast.
Ice storm.
Before I went, and I was checking my flight status that Monday because I was taking a red eye, and all of a sudden it's like your flight's been delayed by 30 minutes. I'm like, okay, an hour and a half layover, it'll be okay. And then I checked back again, and my flight had been delayed by an hour and a half, which would have meant I was going to miss the connection in New York.
I was watching your saga on Facebook posts.
It sucked.
It was like...
So,
yeah.
It was like the Santa tracker, but it was a Nate tracker.
It was terrible. So I'm like, okay, well, let me see if the next flight from New York to Vermont is booked up. Let's see if I could buy a ticket if I wanted to. And of course, no, I could not because it's the holidays. So I decide, you know what, I'm going to call JetBlue. I'm going to get on the phone with JetBlue and figure this out because The following flight would have meant a 7-hour layover at JFK on Christmas Eve. Yeah. So I got on the phone with him, and they were, guy came on. He was very nice. He was very helpful. And he said, well, do you have to fly into Burlington? And I said, yes, I do.
Are there other airports in Vermont?
No, there are, but they're like all really, all really, I mean, Burlington is really small.
Right. It has rocking chairs.
Yeah, exactly.
And coat factories.
The, wrong state.
Ah.
Wait, where's the Burlington Coat Factory from?
It's, I believe, Burlington, Mass.
My whole life I thought it was a Vermont company.
That's just what they want you to think.
No, I don't think there actually is a Burlington Coat Factory in Vermont at all.
How ironic.
Mm-hmm. Nice. But there is an airport you were trying to get to.
An international airport. And so I get on the phone with him, and they were very nice. And he's like, well, do you have to fly in there? And I said, yeah, because there nothing else is within a 5-hour drive of my dad.
Oh, so like 7 hours at the airport or 5 hours on the road?
In an ice storm.
Well, that had passed, but the roads were still kind of iffy. And he said, well, okay, can you fly out of somewhere other than Sacramento? Can you fly out of, say, Oakland or San Jose? And I said, yeah, I can do that. I can fly out of, he goes, well, we have a 9 p.m. out of Oakland. I'm like, well, that won't work. Or we have an 11 p.m. out of San Jose. And I'm like, okay. So he goes, hold on, let me check this out. So in the meantime, I'm like, okay, now I need to get to San Jose.
And the way to San Jose?
It's December 23rd. It's about 4 in the afternoon.
Not a good time.
And I'm looking for a ride to San Jose. Needless to say, no one could bring me to San Jose, because the very few people that I knew that were still in town had already had, they were either working or they had plans or they had to work early the next day. And that's like a 5-hour round trip to San Jose.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? All right, I'm going to have to drive myself. And when the guy came back on the phone, I said, can we make it so that I fly back to San Jose? And he said, sure, we can do that. So he gets that all squared away. And then I had to figure out, okay, how much is this going to cost me to park in San Jose? And it's a flat, their economy lot, and I use the word economy loosely, is $15 flat rate per day.
Shit.
So
do they have offsite?
Listen, it was too close to even bother trying to figure that out.
No. If you ever go to at SFO, I got a good parking spot.
I even looked for like park and ride hotels, but those were super expensive. Those were more expensive. The total price for parking at San Jose, $120.
No. Boy, such a deal. You could fly to San Jose for that. Maybe not.
And so I made it there. No problem. All of my connections, everything went fine. And when I came back to San Jose, I'm on the shuttle bus. And I have a story I'll tell on the next podcast about how I lost my wallet.
Oh. What a magical Christmas you had.
Yeah, it was. And I'm on the shuttle bus. I'm back in San Jose. And I'm on the shuttle bus. This shuttle bus stops at car rental desks and economy lot. And I'm like, you jackass. You should have rented a car.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt really bad, but then nobody had suggested that. Oh. So it's not like everyone, why didn't you rent a car?
Well, you know what, though?
Because if you had rented, you still would have had to park it, because the amount they charge you if you're doing it one way, like airport to airport should be cheaper, but.
No, I checked. I checked when I got back.
Never check.
I checked when I got back, and on New Year's Eve, so I figured that would be about, you know, roughly similar New Year's Eve, Christmas Eve, it would have cost me $55 to rent a car at SAC International Airport and return it 4 hours later in San Jose.
But then you would have had to do that twice.
No, I could have flown back to Sacramento.
Oh.
Meaning I would not have had to spend 15 hours traveling on the way back. Because when I landed in San Jose, I still had a little over a 2-hour drive back home.
That's rough.
I got back at 1 a.m.
Worst.
Here. So that was the travel. The part where I lost my wallet is delightful, and you'll hear that on Friday's episode.
Yay.
But your dad loved your visit, and you had a white Christmas, right?
Yeah. Yeah, white Christmas is really overrated.
I've never had one.
But
yeah,
it was,
me either.
There's snow like an hour from here.
That's not where different. I celebrate Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, you should. Yeah. Go ahead and do that. It's not that exciting. But my dad did enjoy the visit, so it was good to see him, and he's doing a lot better.
Excellent.
Yay.
Now.
Wait, is Vermont in the polar vortex right now?
You know what? It's not.
Or is it just regular super cold there?
It's going to be regular cold there. I've never heard the term polar vortex before.
I'm never going to stop using it now.
That's awesome. That's what it's called?
Yeah.
Polar vortex.
I've never heard of
this before.
That's
a real meteorological thing.
Are there ice demons coming down from the vortex?
Fucking Canada's fault, you guys.
We can't blame Canada.
Were they so nice that they made a vortex?
No, it usually stays in Canada, the vortex does.
Yeah, it's weird, and I've never heard of it before. I think they made it up. I think they all made it up. They started naming snowstorms now, which is bullshit.
Oh.
They're like, oh, we're going to name snowstorms in the winter because people pay attention to hurricanes, but they don't pay attention to snowstorms. Let's name them.
I think they do.
No, let's name everything. So,
what's this one named?
I don't know. This is the polar vortex because it's just cold air. It's not a storm.
They should give it a name. Why can't a polar vortex have a name?
Mr. Vortex.
Yeah, you're making shit up. Why not make up more?
Exactly. Let's name our sunny days too. Every one of them.
It's all like extreme weather.
So
out here where it's beautiful, and they literally prayed for rain in church, and I'm like, this is bad.
Yeah.
This weekend.
Yeah. No rain in sight.
It's never going to rain again.
Nope, not at all. So one of the movies I wanted to talk about that you guys all saw, I have not seen this, Mr. Banks.
Saving Mr. Banks.
Is that a groan of
a delight?
Sadness?
A groan of delight?
Did it touch your heart?
It was a beautiful film.
Yes.
The acting was amazing.
Yes.
Everything about it, top to bottom, was fine.
Yes.
Oscar caliber. It was, however, one of the most, to me, most sad films I've ever watched. I thought it was very, very sad.
It's like the king of daddy issues movies,
yes,
essentially.
It's
funny because there was an article in Parade magazine this week in the paper that was like, Nate's making a face.
Who reads Parade?
I do. I subscribe to The Bee.
Secrets of Downton.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh. I don't always read it, but it had Downton, so I did. And so they had this big article in there that was like, you know, was the movie too hard on P.L. Travers? And the article was essentially like,
she was a worse bitch
than she was in the movie.
Yeah.
And she was like more unhappy. And so basically, like, even though the movie was sad, they actually like artificially made it happier than it really would have been.
I was still crying when I got home from the theater. Like we were both just like, and it didn't help that sitting in front of us at the theater at the like 8 p.m. showing that we went to were two kids, probably six and eight years old. And at one point, even like the little kid starts crying in the movie. Because if you're a kid, that's a terrible movie to watch.
Oh, it's really scary.
It's not appropriate. I don't know if the parents were either like, we can't find a sitter, which, hey, I feel you. It happens. Or, you know, well, it's about Disney, so it must be okay. And that was terribly uncomfortable as well to watch for these poor kids freaking out. But I don't know. I thought it was a great film, but I kind of wish I'd watched it at home with a box of tissue and not, because I was just a blubbering mess.
Ted, did you cry?
I got a little misty-eyed at one point. I don't remember what point it was, but it's an excellent film. I recommend it. My dad liked it. He's never seen Mary Poppins before. He didn't cry at all, but he liked it.
I didn't cry, I think, only because we saw it with Ted's parents, and it somehow became my job to pass the popcorn equally back and forth between all four of us. And I was really focused on that and trying to make sure that it was going smoothly. And I think that sort of kept me in the real world. No, I always end up being the popcorn holder when the four of us go to a movie. And it's like, if there's just two of you, you just prop it between you and you eat. But when there's four people, you're kind of like, does the person on the end still have any? Do you have any? I don't want to hog too much because his mom paid for it, but I really like popcorn, so I'm bringing it back to me. It's like this long process, and it sort of, I have to keep one eye on the popcorn, one eye on the movie.
Oh, dear. I didn't know it was such an ordeal, honey.
It's okay. It's not an ordeal. It takes
it's a privilege.
Skill and consciousness.
With great popcorn comes great responsibility.
I don't want to offend your family. And sometimes I think, maybe we should just get two popcorns. But then I'm like, no, that's so unfamily.
You know, you can ask for an extra bag.
You can?
You can divide, yeah.
They'll
give you a little box, like a drink tray.
Yeah.
And you can pour popcorn
in there.
Or just
BYOB.
But his family's like super sweet, and they always buy the popcorn, and they're really nice. And I just want to make sure that nobody gets shortchanged. And so I really focus on it. 2 years ago on Ted, we saw this movie on Ted's birthday. Ted and his dad have the same birthday. And 2 years ago, we saw Les Mis, and I was also the popcorn holder. Oh. And I also did not cry during Les Mis, except during the Anne Hathaway part, because I had to pass the popcorn around.
Nate, if you can cue up when the juice sound drops, the reason we go to this theater on our birthdays is because they give you free tickets to your to the movies on your birthday.
Oh,
and my dad insists
nice.
On taking us there every year.
Judaism, son.
Yeah, you didn't think I was going with that one, did you?
I wasn't sure. But better than Fight Club, like Jewish Fight Club. But yeah, so but yeah, it's a good deal. It's a good value, I think.
It's a cute tradition, yeah. You know, that you guys have. Like we're going to our birthday movie, and you show your ID
because
and
it's free.
I always used to go to Denny's for like the free breakfast.
So didn't cry. Your dad didn't cry. You didn't cry. Did your mom cry?
I don't know if she cried.
She didn't tell us if she did.
So that's probably a no. Did Rob cry?
Yeah, almost. I think he might have. Some tears might have been. I would have cried more, except that. We were sitting there, and I literally had just written happy birthday to a friend of mine whose birthday was on that day.
You were texting in the movie?
No, before it started. And then she and then she walked in, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, hey, happy birthday. And so she and her husband came and, like, sat. We weren't going together. She's just there. So she sat by me, and we're not close enough that I felt like I should be, like, in front of her. So I held it together slightly more. But I was just, like, on the way home, Robin, I would talk about a part, and I'd get all choked up again. Aww. And we got home. My parents asked me how it is, and I'm like, oh, okay. I'm not sure I can watch Mary Poppins again without crying now.
So,
somebody says go fly a kite, I'm going to lose it.
go fly a kite.
And the reason I brought it back to that is on the last show, we were sort of, I was mostly mocking David Beckham for crying
like
at sitcoms.
At
but he also, one of the movies he talked about was Saving Mr. Banks. And he said he cried for an hour afterwards.
I believe it.
Did Rob also cry for an hour afterwards? Is it a British thing?
Maybe it's a British thing. I think it's a British thing and like a parent thing. And it's about like the especially close relationship that P.L. Travers has with her father. And I think Rob was just like fidgy the whole time, like over the kid. Even though it has nothing, I told him, unless you become... I don't want to... Spoiler alert. Unless you adopt some of the habits that P.L. Travers' father has... had, you don't probably need to worry about the kid's life going the way of P.L. Travers.
Right.
So,
your kid will never be famous.
Right. Which is okay because she won't be so terribly sad.
One thing that was super interesting in the Parade article, though, for everybody who hasn't recycled their sack B yet, was that apparently P.L. Travers, like, was going to adopt twin baby boys.
I heard about this.
And then at the last moment, she only adopted one of them.
What?
Left the other one and never told the one about his brother.
On the advice of her astrologer.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough.
And and so they wrote that into the movie originally, and then they were like, this is too complicated and hard to explain to make her likable. And so they just erased all of that out of the film.
Yeah.
Well, apparently that her son met his twin brother randomly at a bar when he was like 18.
What?
Yeah. They just met randomly, and then
they came out alike.
And they didn't talk. So I think they kind of allude to it in the movie, because at one point it was like, you know, do you have family back in England? She's like, nobody that cares where I am. And so I think that's as close as they get to acknowledging that, like, no, her kid just wasn't going to talk to her anymore. And the kid didn't know he was adopted, didn't know he had a, certainly didn't know he had a twin brother. Yeah, she was peachy.
She had issues.
But still a fine film, and they all deserve many awards and accolades because it was beautiful.
It was a fantastic film. And you should all read Parade magazine because you learn really interesting things.
True.
And go watch Mary Poppins.
Yeah, I can't wait to see Mary Poppins again. Do you own it, Christiana?
I do. If you would like to, you're welcome to come over and we can have a little
cry.
I'll cry.
I'll be in the corner of the couch rocking.
It's been a little while since we've seen Couch Island. We should do it.
Yeah, we totally should do it.
Chimchimmery.
Yeah. I mean, that Feed the Bird song is always kind of sad.
It is sad, yeah.
I don't even know.
Oh my God.
Nate, you're invited. We'll bring tissue.
Awesome. So I made it back to Sacramento in time for New Year's Eve, the great New Year's Rockin' Eve.
And also known as Becca's birthday.
Exactly. They didn't mention that on Fox News. I was flipping back and forth between Anderson Cooper and Kathy Griffin on CNN and Fox News ringing in the new year with Elizabeth Hasselbeck and some guy who doesn't matter. Because they were both god-awful in their own special way. At one point, Kathy Griffin handcuffed herself to Anderson Cooper, which was uncomfortable and weird, as is pretty much the entire thing with them. So I got bored and I ended up spending a lot more time over on Fox News, where they had...
not uncomfortable at all.
They dubbed their coverage Fox News All-American New Year.
Didn't they have like a Fox News Family Christmas special or something too? Yeah, there was something I kept seeing on the like DVR guide, and I'm like, I should see what that is, but I can't do it.
Well, this was it was New Year's coverage, but it's Elizabeth Hasselbeck and Bill Hemmer is the guy, and they were on a platform in Times Square as one are. They were complaining about how cold they were, and they were talking. They at one point Megyn Kelly called in and gloated that she wasn't there. She was actually at a bar with her husband.
I thought you were going to say that she said that the New Year's baby was white.
Well, in some places they were. But here's what I learned watching Fox News' All-American New Year. One, Elizabeth Hasselbeck is truly a dullard. She is just god-awful. She cannot ad-lib her way through anything.
And she was hosting the entire night?
Uh-huh. Her and Bill Hemmer on a platform.
Oh, God.
But they were throwing it around to different places. They had a reporter down on the street. They had one in a bar in New York City, where they interviewed this one dude. They were interviewing drunk people live on TV, which is never really a great idea.
Like fish in a barrel.
So here's something else I learned from a drunk person who had a weird jacket on. He said, velvet is the new suede.
Oh. Ooh.
Because he was wearing a velvet jacket. Mm. And the other thing is when you interview drunk women in Miami, sometimes they say things on live TV that you probably don't want to hear, like this.
2013. Not that 2013 was bad, people. So anyway, after that, it's Afro Jack. And then, because it's South Beach, it's Miami Beach, Florida, things don't close.
By the way, this year's New Year's was brought to you by Nivea. Nivea, handing out hats in Times Square because they're douchebags.
They have
it 2 o'clock in the morning like they do most of the country. It goes all the way till 7 a.m. inside. Well, hello there, tall drink of water. Happy New Year's, people.
Happy New Year!
Say something to the nation.
We got 5 minutes till 2014 and we're going to fuck shit up.
Oh.
Whoa. You're going to watch your language. It's a family channel, man.
No, it's Fox News. They think kids watch all the time, apparently. They really are.
Yeah, it's 5 minutes of midnight. Everybody. Hey,
tall drink of water.
Hey, tall drink of water. Hey, let me throw a creepy hit on you line at you. Now say something to America, drunk girl.
So wait a second. They don't have this on any kind of 5 second delay.
Oh, no.
Anything.
I saw it live.
I mean, even Loveline has a 5 second delay. Right. Like Fox News can't afford that.
Freedom of speech. America.
Wow.
I don't know.
America. You know what happens in America?
14 and we're going to fuck shit up.
Yeah. Whoa.
Oh,
you
bless them.
Bless those drunk, tall glasses of water.
Wow. Tall drink of water.
So, Nate.
Drunk of water.
Yes. So here you are. You're sitting on your couch.
Mm-hmm.
It's 5 minutes to 2014.
Yes.
You're sipping a beer. And that happens. What's your reaction?
It was champagne. I was like, that is awesome. I was like, that is awesome, you dullards.
You dullards.
You fucking dullards.
Aww.
Which is exactly what I said. Because it's not like it was somebody out on the street doing a live report and then someone ran up behind them and was like, yeah, fuck shit up. No, you accosted a drunk girl in a bar. And then when she was ready to go, you're like, say something to America, idiot. You got what you deserved.
Literally asked for it. Literally.
Yeah, exactly. So that was the New Year's Eve that ended. That's the nice thing about living on the West Coast. All that done by 9.
It's true.
Done by 9. And the fireworks this year in Sacramento went off because no one was murdered in Old Sac.
Hooray!
So, yay!
It was a win-win.
No murders, lots of fireworks. And no one was woken up the next morning by fireworks they had to get rid of.
Yay. Or phone calls about dead loved ones, I guess.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Way to bring us down, Ted. We were on a high note for a second.
Fuck shit up, 2014. Woo! Are we back?
Yes.
Yep.
Yay.
Speaking of powerful women, Lena Esko is a filmmaker, and she is crowdfunding to release. They've shot this movie already, and they're crowdfunding to release a movie called Free the Nipple. And this is what's on their Fund Anything page.
Why is this so hard?
So they start this off with an obviously fake news conference. How do I know? Because it's just a bunch of women asking questions.
Last year, we raised enough money to shoot the film in New York with hundreds of topless women to fight these absurd censorship laws.
But isn't it legal for women to be topless in public in New York City?
Yes, it is. It's absolutely legal since 1992. And
I really hope the acting in the film is better than the acting in this, because it's these people playing reporters are terrible.
I can't even. NYPD continue to arrest women, and it's still illegal in 37 states for women to be topless on a beach. I have spent my life and every single dollar on this film, and I would love to get the movie out there to the world.
What's your film rated? PG-13 or R?
The Motion Picture Association of America is going to give us an NC-17, which means that most theaters will not distribute our film.
I find it hard to believe they're going to get an NC-17 for bare breasts.
Depends what the breasts are doing and like how much time. I believe it.
They're bouncing for a lot of the trailer I saw. They're running, so they're bouncing. I find it hard to believe, and my guess is you're not going to get a lot of distribution because not that many people are going to go see this.
People who want to see boobs and don't know how to use the internet will come see it.
Right. It's an art house film at best, so to argue that, oh, the big movie chains don't want... No, that's never going to happen. And as of right now, there's 26 days to go as we record this. They have a $250,000 goal. They're at $31,588.
Still a lot of money, though.
Don't give up.
It is.
I mean, percentage-wise, it's low, but that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. She went on the Adam Carolla podcast to plug it when he was in San Diego. So she's plugged it on the biggest podcast in the world. So the word is out there. The movie is called Free the Nipple. It's about breast oppression, and it's not a documentary. It's an actual feature film.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because Carolla kept saying, oh, is this a documentary? And she goes, no, it's not a documentary, it's a film.
What?
No.
There's like characters and a storyline?
Yeah, apparently.
No. Like, as a documentary, good. No.
I don't know.
Like, as a documentary, I could totally buy it, but like, as, like, what, a dramatization of having to wear a shirt? Like, I don't...
I believe so, yeah.
No, and given the caliber of acting, like, you've made a film and that's what's on your trailer is, like, this really poorly overacted press conference?
Well, that's not the trailer. That's the Fund Anything video that you put on any of those crowdfunding sites.
I know
sites.
What you mean, but I mean, they don't have a trailer to show?
Well, I'm not going to play the full 3 minutes of it.
Okay, but did you watch the trailer with the acting? Because I didn't.
Well, there wasn't a lot of acting.
It was just a lot of boobs.
It was a lot of women running.
Oh, great.
Topless. The biggest supporter of this is Miley Cyrus. She's been tweeting about freeing the nipple for the past couple of weeks, so she's fully behind it. She's fully behind nipples, and as am I. I mean, I'm all for it, but good luck to you. I don't know that it's going to happen.
I feel like I'm literally behind nipples every day.
I think as humans, we all are.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
No,
pretty deep.
I wish her well. I guess I'm too quick to judge. I just don't see how a feature film, a fictionalized account of having to wear a shirt is going to be a winner.
What if I told you, Becca, they were running topless through the streets of New York with capes on?
Does that change?
Does that change it?
Anything?
To fight and end the war on women's boobs. They're called topless warriors.
Wow. Like Amazon. Would you...
I'm curious. I'm going to have to... I didn't have a chance to watch the whole trailer.
Yeah, no. It's... And, you know, I'm... Lena Dunham is got the t-shirt, too, so she's contributed at least $55.
Well, maybe this is actually going to go pretty well. I mean, if she has people like Miley Cyrus and Lena Dunham and Adam Carolla talking about it, then maybe it really does have some oomph behind
it,
you know?
Well, when did this go up, though?
It went up a while ago. It's been up for a few weeks.
Yeah,
because she was on the Carolla show well before Christmas. So that was like 3 weeks ago. Miley Cyrus was tweeting about it over Christmas. They got 26 days, so it's not like they can't do it. It's just a long road to hoe to literally free the nipple. But I mean, the $250,000 goal—that's a distribution thing. The way movies work now, you're not going to get it into theaters, but you might be able to get it on Netflix. You might be able to get it into pay-per-view. It's not like if you raise $40, $50, $100,000, you can't get the movie out there for people to see it.
You could put it on YouTube now.
Yeah, she could put it on YouTube. She could put it on Vimeo for people to see. I don't think she could put it on YouTube because of their... because of the nipples, actually.
They oppress nipples online, too.
Yeah,
the reason
Vimeo does not censor, but I believe YouTube does for things like that.
Can I pitch a more local, less boob?
I suppose
Indiegogo thing.
Yeah, I suppose.
My friend Ross Hammond, local musician about town. I think he's in every band. I think there's something in the city charter that says if you start a musical group in Sacramento, he has to be somehow. I mean, seriously. And he's in like a ton of groups.
And if you open a cafe, I think he has to play there.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Is he the one who made the organ? The Hammond organ?
Oh, no. No, but he recently opened Gold Lion Arts, which is on Riverside. And he's trying to raise money for a music scholarship program to provide music lessons because so many schools have cut their program. And so he wants to be able to provide more music lessons. And so if you search Indiegogo for Gold Lion Arts Music Scholarship Program, he's trying to raise $2,500.
That's much more reasonable.
Which isn't really that much. So what is that? Literally a tenth of what?
Yeah, it is.
So so if you, you know, if you want to get a jump start on that,
it's actually 100. It's actually literally 1/100th.
Oh, I guess so. If you want to get a jump start on your 2014 charitable giving
math,
you can hop on that.
Sorry.
Hop on that now and go. And give them some money.
By the way, we're local to the world. We're everywhere.
Oh, we are local to the world.
We're on the World Wide Web.
But if you're at the corner of Gaffaw and
Dream Street and Gaffaw
Avenue. Dream Street and Gaffaw Avenue.
It's true.
If you want to support those two streets, you should also look.
So, just when you thought selling people was out, the San Francisco Giants have agreed to sell first baseman Brett Pill to the Kia Tigers of the Korean Baseball Organization. The Giants say he's agreed to a one-year contract with the South Korean team, pending a physical that's going to take place, well, probably by now. He's on the Giants' 40-man roster until he passes that physical. He hit .244 with 3 homers and 12 RBIs last season for the Giants.
What position does he play?
First base and left field.
So he's
I believe second base, too. He became expendable after the Giants signed outfielder Michael Morse to a one-year contract. So,
can I just say that given like the whole Barry Bonds thing and whatever like questionable Giant stuff going on, when there's a headline that says Giants to sell Pill to Korean team, I don't think good things.
All alleged stuff.
You, right.
So, yeah.
That's it.
I've heard of players going to Japan. You don't hear of a lot of players going to Korea.
As long as it's South Korea.
I wonder how he feels
about
going
this. To North Korea would be rough.
Yeah.
Congratulations, you're going to Korea. Which
We've
one?
Sold you to North Korea.
You're going with Dennis Rodman, and you may not be coming back.
They fed that guy to dogs.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah, that was weird. Kim Jong-un, is he the one now? His uncle was executed, and the internet rumor was that he was fed to hungry dogs. He was executed by being fed to hungry dogs while he was alive.
Gross.
But that has not been confirmed. I Snopes that yesterday, and that is not confirmed at all. So
is anything ever confirmed?
Maybe they just shot him in the head. Who knows?
Maybe he's just like staying in the back of the castle. Not anybody. I don't know.
So anyway, that's a very long opening segment. So that means it's time for...
The Nate Darling Show.
Yeah.
Cool. Or tool.
All right. First up in cooler tool, Walt Disney. Walt Disney, Ted.
Despite the rumors of his anti-Semitism, which may or may not be factual, I lean toward cool because he's brought a lot of magic and wonder to the world. So cool on you, Mr. Disney.
Becca?
I agree.
Shocker. Christiane?
I love him. I can't help it.
Walt Disney, I'm going to go tool just because of that mustache. It creeps me out. I know it might have been the style of the time, and Milburn Drysdale wore one in the Beverly Hillbillies and all, but yeah, no, sorry. Up next in cooler tool, nipples. Becca.
Cool.
Christiana.
They're great. Cool. Yeah, sure.
Ted.
They're tools of nourishing babies. No, that's not right. But they're cool, too.
Well, that is right.
Kind of, is it? I don't know. Okay.
Literally, yes.
But not mine.
And they're hard when they're cool, too.
There's men who have...
There have been men who lactated?
Yeah,
sorry.
You've got all the equipment there. Okay, you just don't have the hormones.
Rub it in. Thanks, Christiana.
I have nipples, Fokker. Can you milk me?
There you go.
Exactly. Yeah, the nipples are cool. And finally, in cooler tool, this is a quick one. Selling people to Korea. Christiana.
I mean, if they deserve it.
He only hit .224, so.
I don't know if that makes him more. I mean, you could go either way with that if they deserve it.
Dead?
So. Gosh, I have problems with selling people in general, so I'm going to say it's tool.
Becca?
I think it very much depends on which Korea.
It does. I'm going to go cool, well, because he agreed to it. because they couldn't just sell him.
So consensually selling people to Korea.
That's really kind of a trade for cash.
But what choice does he really have? I guess he can say no and then just...
Yeah, he could say no and they could release him.
And then so...
And he could go to another team if he wanted to.
In North Korea, which would suck. So or, he chose wisely.
Whatever he wants to do. So good luck to you, Brett Pill, konnichiwa. I don't know if that's the right
language. Not even right.
No.
Whatever.
Look, I heard it on MASH.
It's an Asian.
That was in Korea.
Those Asians all say talk the same way.
They do. They do, and they all hate each other, too. It's crazy.
It's weird.
It is. Speaking of people that you think are very similar but actually hate each other.
Oh.
I believe you sent those to me, Ted. It's an epic rap battle. We'll listen to a little bit of this. It's...
I just posted it to Facebook.
Nerd versus geek. Why do they hate each other so much?
Because why do all the Asians hate each other so much? Because of reasons?
I love that there's a TigerDirect.com actual physical store that they shot this in, too.
Yeah, they really...
What do you think you're doing, nerd?
Did you just call me a nerd? Geek?
Yeah, nerd.
Yes, I am a nerd! Bookworm, I'm studious. From my cerebral cortex to my gluteus. Back in kindergarten, I aced my college entrance exam. Now, I'm no rocket scientist, but wait, I am. When I pour my alphabets, I get nothing but straight A's. My retainer and headgear connect to a back brace. I got a pocket protector, protector, protector. I broke my glasses on purpose so I could tape them together. We're back to Reddit and type stuff no one will see. You're a geek, that means you're just a hipster wannabe. That's right, I'm a geek. I've got brains and a personality. I wear my glasses sincerely and my t-shirts ironically. There's some things you can't learn in a class, or else I'll sign you up for intro to how not to be a social outcast. You're just so early 2013. I was the cool form of uncool before uncool became a thing. I use an app to pair pork with the perfect Bordeaux. Too bad there's no app to neutralize your VO. While you're lost in Second Life letting your fingernails grow long, I'll be syncing up my iPhone, tablet, TV, and your mom. Sure, grooming's not my thing, but I don't care.
Okay.
A lot of stereotyping going on.
There is. So, Ted, do you identify as either geek or nerd?
I identify much more with geek than nerd, but I have nerdish leanings in some ways. You know, like I'm kind of a grammar Nazi. I hate saying that word, but I don't know why.
I can't imagine.
But I'm more geekish than nerdish. I'm a little bit nerdish, a little bit rock and roll. Anyway.
Becca, do you identify with either group at all?
I think I'm probably more nerdish than geekish because I feel like geek has to do with like a certain pop culture genre of stuff that you're interested in. And I like all that stuff all right, but I feel like I had flashbacks listening to the opening of that thing of being in school and being like mercilessly teased for getting good grades and, you know, being, I don't know, just being a super nerd. So I think probably... that.
Christiana, what about you?
I went to the California Academy of Mathematics and Science.
Glass push.
Well, I'm asking what you self-identify as.
Both.
A little bit of both.
I'm a geek about nerdery. Yeah, and I'm nerding about my geek stuff.
I know.
I'm a nerd. I don't find nerd as derogatory as longtime listeners and friends of Ted and I will know that we have nomenclature disagreements frequently about this.
Yeah.
And I think that Ted is both, and I think that I am both, but I don't see either term as derogatory.
So. No, that's the thing. It's really funny when that's why the epic rap battle nerd versus geek, because I've seen people have these arguments and I'm like, you guys are really not that different.
Aww.
Why all the arguing?
We're all the same, is what you're saying, right, Nate?
Pretty much.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty much.
Of you.
I mean, it kind of is. I don't think nerd or geek is derogatory either. I think it's more descriptive.
I don't find them derogatory. I just find that they mean different things. And I mean, a geek doesn't have to be intellectual. A geek can just be like, I love playing Dungeons and Dragons all the time, but I don't give a rat's ass about my schoolwork or intellectual stuff. So that's more geekish, whereas a nerd person may not give a rat's ass about comics or anything geeky.
And may literally make a living marking errors in grammar with a red pen, which is what I do for a living.
Well, you know, if you did that with people that are under 18, you'd be a teacher.
That's true.
Exactly. I don't know. And you know what? Everybody nerds out about whatever, you know, something. There's something that everybody nerds out or geeks out about. I mean, that you just get like, oh my God, I am so stoked for X, Y, or Z. And the big one that's coming up is the Super Bowl. There, people are nerding out and geeking out for the Super Bowl. And the people who are not nerds or geeks or anything like that, they are super stoked on the Super Bowl.
They're jocking out.
I'm sad about the Super Bowl because, one, I don't even know who's playing, and I always feel sort of left out of the party.
Wait, does anybody know who's playing?
No.
No, but I mean, I don't
who
even
might
know.
Play? Can somebody tell me?
Right.
Seriously.
I can. I can. Okay. In the NFC, we are down to the final four.
I don't.
This
are the Chargers still in it?
Yes, okay. The Chargers won.
Are the 49ers still in it?
Yes.
Okay. Oh,
big
that's
win
exciting.
Over the Packers.
Yes, yes. Every California team that is not the Raiders is still in it.
All the California teams that count.
Yay, Chargers.
Suck it, Oakland. Oh,
well, see,
don't shoot me, Oakland.
Ted and I, we don't have TV, so we don't watch the
gosh.
Football, and then the Super Bowl happens, and then we're like, oh, it's Super Bowl, and like we can't really
got you an antenna?
No, just invite us to a Super Bowl party.
We
okay,
feel
like humans.
No, I'll invite you to a Super Bowl party.
Okay.
Okay, you're in a Super
cool.
Bowl party.
And then
done.
There's this thing where the thing
we'll
that you...
Mary Poppins before.
Okay.
That's all we really wanted all this time,
the thing you
Christiana.
Posted the other day that was like... who wants to go see Groundhog Day on Groundhog
oh,
Day?
Yeah.
Like, I noticed that too. And I was like, I really want to do that. We saw the poster in the theater and then you posted it. And I was like, oh, Christiana wants to do it too. We're going to have a party. And then Nate was like, that's the Super Bowl day. And I was like, dang, that's Super Bowl. Cause
I know.
We could have a Groundhog Day party.
Sorry to ruin it.
I know, but I really, I like the Super Bowl and I like Puppy Bowl on Animal
yeah.
Planet.
Puppy Bowl is cool.
Uh-oh.
This is really
game
dumb.
Change.
What time does the Super Bowl start usually?
The pregame?
The game
3 weeks before
kickoff is like at 3:30 our time.
Okay, because I have school that day, but I got out at 2.
All right, we're playing our social all links, everyone.
All right, we're doing it.
You should watch if you're in the Sacramento area. You should start watching Fox 40 at 7 a.m. There'll be a special morning show that day
at Christiana's house. Yeah. Her door will be open at 7
come
in the
on
morning.
In. It will be creepy if anybody. Well, somebody has my address out there. They tell you this is totally off. Thing but
somebody so, has your address
I
out there.
So I got this and I don't know if this sounds like a non-humble brag thing, but right before Christmas, a couple days before Christmas, somebody left a handwritten note card on my doorstep. I don't think we talked about this on the show yet.
No.
Left a card on my doorstep that said in like all caps pen handwriting, thank you for all you do for the kids of Sacramento. And there was some money in it, which was really not like a lot of money, but a little bit of money, which was really nice.
That is really
and
nice.
And also like a little bit creepy.
But have you been following this? Because
no,
you are
Greg
one of
posted something.
You're one of four people that I know who got money. I know Stephanie Rector of Sat Geeks did. Keith Lil Jensen got some. John Marcotte got some. You got some.
So it's like all comedy. And I get Chris Crotty got some, and Brian got some.
Wow!
So I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know if it must be somebody. Money. There's a lot of comment like we're all Facebook friends.
Right.
But
they knew that you worked with kids, which is super specific. Like that's lower profile than like you owning a club or something.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
If only there was a place where she talked about it, where people would hear that,
or like Facebook or anything else.
Exactly.
So which one of our Facebook friends has like hundreds of dollars to give away? Wow, that's really impressive.
So it was weird, but that's why
it
made me think of like people who could show up at my somebody could and did, because other people. Well, Greg posted, and then there was a thing on Sac Rag that was like, did anybody hear about this or know anything? And then I couldn't tell because I haven't asked any of the other people who got these letters directly if they were like in the mail or either way somebody had addresses.
Right.
But this is definitely not posted to me. It was left on the doorstep. So. Thanks if you're listening. That was really sweet. I spent the money on a party that I had for my teens.
Oh, cool.
The downside of all that, they took it from all of the stolen credit cards from Target. So it's actually your money.
I was paying myself.
There you go. Now, I found this online. It's pretty cool. It's from Great Britain, I believe. It's 22 outstanding neighbor complaint notes. And I know it's from Great Britain because they spell neighbor with a U.
Neighbor.
We're not going to go through all 22 of them, but This was posted on a bulletin board. Your bass speakers are amazing. Dear neighbor, your car's sound system is amazing. It's so loud and the bass is so rocking that it actually shakes all of the apartment buildings in the complex. Awesome. This is exceptionally rad when you pull up at 3:30 in the morning and wake up the entire community. Wicked awesome.
Oh, God. Oh, that's got to be from Massachusetts.
We're all very impressed with your super cool sound system. Don't even think about turning it down when you pull up to the buildings you share with hundreds of other people. Your envious neighbors. That note's actually without the U, so that is American.
Oh, that's funny.
Or a bad, poorly spelling English person. Poorly spelling.
Anyway. Here's one that's a little shorter and to the point. If you're going to shoot porn in the elevator, please clean up after you're done. Thank you, management.
Oh, wow.
They capitalized porn. I didn't know that was a proper noun.
No, I don't know.
So,
porn.
Yeah. To all the people that kept us up all night by singing/screaming on their balcony, thank you for your epic performance. Your terrace faces 115 windows, so you really did have the perfect stage. I'm sure you're keen to hear our verdict. 2:23 a.m., Pinball Wizard by The Who. Terrible, 3 out of 10. Your performance of this would cause the band more shame than Pete Townsend's liberal attitude.
Oh.
3:14 a.m., Walk This Way, Aerosmith. The lowest point of the performance, 1 out of 10. I hate this song. For me, it's always covered in the... Coward in the Shadows of Dude Looks Like a Lady. However, it's catchy. So catchy that Walk This Way became your catchphrase of the evening. Repeated every 10 minutes or so, it literally got funnier every time. 8:20 a.m. Tiny Dancer, Elton John. Actually very good, 7 out of 10. I've always said if you're going to be woken up after 2 hours of sleep, it might as well be to a herd of morons singing Tiny Dancer.
If I had a nickel for a time I said that.
9:10 a.m. Friday I'm in Love by The Cure. A return to poor form, 2 out of 10. You sang the opening line, I don't care if Monday's blue with supreme confidence. Judging by how wired you all looked by this stage, I can assure you Monday through Thursday will be very, very blue. As the song ended, one of you looked out over the courtyard and hugged the other. You gestured to the beautiful sunny morning and gave a little smile that said to the world, yep, we absolutely nailed that.
Mm-hmm.
I hate you.
Nice.
Here's one that you might appreciate, Ted. You know how you can name your wireless router?
I do know this.
And some of the networks on this router system, your music is annoying. And then below it, your grammar is more annoying because they use the wrong form of your or your music.
Love it.
Here's one. This one's everywhere. Hi. If I see you neglecting to pick up your dog's poop, I'm going to throw it at you. I have good aim. I will probably get it in your mouth.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, usually not quite that.
I wouldn't be willing to pick it up to make a point. I don't know. Even with a plastic bag. Just thinking about the practicality.
Here's a nice one. This is a recording of you having sex from my bedroom at 4:27 a.m. this morning. I hear everything and I just want to sleep. Please be courteous. Harrison in D1. And the CD on it is written, fucking is great. Please not so late.
That's more early than late, isn't it?
Embarrassing.
Here's one from Edinburgh. Posted in a window. Second floor. We can see you shagging.
Wow.
Here's one on a post-it note. Or not a post-it note, but a note card. Hello. Just thought you might like to know that I think your pet elephants have been bowling while you were out. I'm concerned for their safety. Bowling can be dangerous. Signed, downstairs. And to the couple who frequently has loud sex, yo, I get it. Sex is great. But I don't even live in this building, and your murder screams echo throughout my living room all the live long night and day.
Wow.
Congratulations on having super active sex life. That's awesome. But from one sexually active neighbor to another, here's some advice to keep the rest of us out of your living room, bedroom, whatever. To the lady, moans are nice. They're sensual, yet animalistic, romantic, yet carnal. While those sweet, sweet, heavy guttural sighs encapsulate all of this, they're also fairly quiet. They'll let your guy know that he's doing a great job boning you in an arousing manner without it sounding like zombies are invading your apartment packing heavy artillery. To the dude, your woman is aggressively loud. She's faking it. Finish her.
Oh, no. Oh, God. She's faking it. Oh, dear.
And finally, to the dog owner using our backyard as a shithouse, in time, you'll be photographed. Your picture will appear in posters all over the neighborhood as below. And they put they printed one out that said, I let my dog shit anywhere. And then it says your picture here below it. So neighbors are wonderful. As our passive-aggressive notes.
Yeah, it's like speak out with a
Have you guys ever left a passive-aggressive note? I mean, other than on Facebook? Because everybody does it on Facebook. That's what Facebook's for, really.
I try not to on Facebook because I hate those posts that's, you know... Well, I'm just glad that some people know what friendship is.
Oh, God. I never do that. I try to never vague book or anything. Gosh, I'm trying... I don't think I've left a passive-aggressive
Not even with roommates, because that's when it's the most tempting.
I've left some, like, clean up your dishes notes
but just
at
aggressive,
work
not passive.
Or something. Well, the smiley face at the end is what makes it passive.
I think. Does it? Like, it's just friendly.
Hey, clean up your dishes.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I definitely use emoticons when I'm trying not to be mad at people in email.
Winky face. Like, hey.
That's, yeah. That's good to know. If Becca, no big if Becca deal, sends right? you something with a bunch of smiley faces on it, she's pissed.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, because I use smiley faces even when I'm not pissed, but I especially do it when I'm trying not to let people know that I am pissed. And yeah, like sometimes I have a correspondence at work and it's like somebody wants an answer from me and it's like, it's not my job or I don't know or whatever. And I kind of convey that. And then we get in this long exchange anyway. And I'm just kind of like, I'm really sorry. I can't help you. Smiley, smiley, smiley. You know, which really means like, quit emailing me about this, you know.
Have you tried just typing fuck right off?
I have not.
Oh, okay, because you might. That'll
Although, honestly, given the paper I work for, that might be okay. You know?
Don't engage the readers.
No, I just mean...
They're the worst.
They might back me. They're not afraid of swear words.
They're not. Now we come to the part of the show where Becca is going to be sad.
Oh, no.
Oh, is this the note for vegans?
It is.
Oh, right when you said that, one of your cats, I'm not sure which one, like, leapt onto the back of the chair, and I just felt this, like, thud against my spine. You were like, Becca's going to be sad, and then it was like...
Because the cat's going to devour her
alive. Because the cat's
going
to eat me. It's, all right.
It's like being at the D-Box theater, isn't it?
It is. With claws.
Stopping a D-Box cat.
This was written in the Windsor Meat Company, so... It's obviously tongue in cheek, so take it with the
Probably
with a grain
like,
of salt,
like beef tongue,
a little bit of beef tongue
in cheek, which I think is just chorizo.
Ooh, could be. Next show I have to tell you guys about the camel.
Noted.
Oh, you know what? I'm gonna do it after Florida Corner because it's Hump Day, so we
what?
Have to do it. Then. Yeah, there we go. So did you know vegans live 15 years longer? Because they aren't invited anywhere fun or dangerous. Instead, they stay at home crying and drinking and being careful not to cry into the drink because tears are the product of animal suffering. The more you know.
An addendum to this. This joke is written by Mike Kaplan, one of my favorite comedians, who is a vegan. And they just kind of stole this and put it on their wall because meat eaters can't come up jokes with jokes of their own. So they need to steal them from vegans.
Oh, that's a Mike Kaplan
right?
joke?
Yeah.
Mike Kaplan is the bomb, you guys. He's a vegan Jewish comedian. He is so funny.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Did you guys go forward in time and have him as a child?
Oh, that would be really interesting.
Back in time and have him as, I don't know.
There was a time when Keith Little Jensen was on Mike Kaplan's podcast and we listened to it and now we're like 1 degree of separation away from Mike Kaplan and that was very exciting.
He's dreamy.
Not that he's like so famous that we couldn't just like go to one of his shows and say hi, but it just felt very exciting.
I had a delicious vegan dinner last night.
How are you doing?
Although I put cheese on top.
So you
vegan.
Didn't.
It could have been vegan. Everything about it was vegan. At the last minute, a cheese
And it had
dip.
Bacon.
No, it was legit. It was legit, except for the cheese.
What was it?
I don't think I... Did I send you the thing? Is this vegan enchilada recipe from budgetbites.com? It was delicious. I highly recommend it.
Mm. He's
Actually,
hunting.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, my cat's hunting. He's on top of the refrigerator.
I'll have
now.
It. That sounds delicious.
I will hunting, send you the link. Or maybe vegans. I'll make the enchiladas for Super Bowl Poppins.
Ooh.
Merry Super Bowl 2014.
And we can make guacamole to go with it, because isn't it a law you have to have guacamole on Super Bowl day?
Yes.
Okay. Only in California.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, only in California, which we are, so that works out. So, TripAdvisor, you guys use TripAdvisor at all? Just
Sometimes.
To check out hotels?
I wrote a TripAdvisor review once because the wonderful manager of the Desert Palms Hotel and Suites in Anaheim, who donated a two-night stay for the YMCA auction,
Yay.
said, you know, if you like staying here, people often write positive reviews, and I did, and I didn't feel bad doing it because I do like the hotel.
There you go.
That's as much exposure to TripAdvisor as I have ever had.
Well, oftentimes people go just to vent about a bad experience.
They do,
and because that's what the internet really is about, is venting about stuff
and porn.
And porn and sports scores.
Internet is for venting and porn.
here's a review from oddly enough. Oh, never mind. Anyway, it's titled "There Was Poo in the Kettle."
Nope.
What?
Do not stay in this absolute dump of a hotel. And I use the term hotel very loosely. Rude staff, windows that won't close, no hot water, broken furniture, dirty utensils, broken light fixings, and actual poo in the kettle. Who poos in the kettle?
Are we talking about a tea kettle?
Yes.
Okay.
Is this a...
What other sort of kettle would there be?
Like some kind of witch's cauldron or something? I have no idea. I just wasn't sure if I was... Maybe it's slang for toilet. I'm completely baffled.
That's the best thing about English hotel rooms is they have tea kettles and tea, and they have little milk pots. Like they have half and half pots here. They have milk pots. I just wanted to share that. The more you know.
Review number two. I have never met anyone who needs a lesson in customer service more. To say children are unwelcome would be an understatement. We visited here with another family and some friends. I asked the clearly unimpressed owner for a straw, that's British for straw, for my son's bottle of pop. His reply, I don't do straws. It encourages children.
Encourage them to do
drink
what?
Soda?
I don't know.
Just encourages children to happen.
Yeah, exactly. To show up at his place.
I need a straw, sir.
This place has straws, honey. Bring the kids.
Are these different hotels or the same hotel?
It's different ones.
Okay.
This one's titled Grim Up North. Having had a long drive, I decided to take a shower. I managed to get a cold trickle out of the hose, but not enough to wash my hair. For this, I had to get on my knees and place my head under the taps. Having not realized the lock was broken, I turned around to find the owner staring at me and smiling. I swore at him and he ran out. As I came out, he was at the bottom of the stairs. He shouted up saying, I was a big boy.
What?
That is creepy as all get out.
Well, I mean, thanks for the compliment. Yeah.
Hose?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's shower.
Found
a dead cockroach in my gin and tonic. We ordered two gin and tonics as we reviewed the menu. They arrived. I noticed there was something floating in my drink.
The backstroke.
The restaurant is quite dark and I looked to see if there was anything similar in my husband's drink. There wasn't. On closer inspection, I noticed, to my horror, that there was actually a dead cockroach floating in my drink.
He was just drunk. He wasn't dead.
Alcohol poisoning.
Yeah.
I'm sure
the food has cockroaches. But only one. I don't know. I'm trying to make like that Jewish joke out of the car. It's not working.
Oh, I hear you going with that.
Yeah. Like the food was terrible and such
small
amounts of cockroaches. I don't know. It's not working.
Oh.
Here's probably my favorite one. Do not stop here. By day five, they tried kicking all nine of us out of the hotel because my friend got his shorts pulled off at the pool and did a 10-meter walk across the poolside to get them back. Then he got taken to reception, where the owner punched him repeatedly in the head while he was trying to put his shorts on.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not the best. I mean, you shouldn't be naked at the pool, but
right.
Punching in the head.
Well, it is Europe. It's better to be naked there.
Oh, okay.
I guess.
Free the nipples and other body parts.
Free the dangly parts.
Free the bits. The nobly wobbly
dangly
bits.
Parts. So yeah, those are some of the best ones.
Yay, TripAdvisor.
Yeah, so, horrendous, haunted, horrible service, worst show ever. I found a screw in my food.
Gross. So,
yeah.
That's not the healthiest thing.
It's not. Well, it is. It can be iron. I mean, it can, you know, sort of help you out with that.
You make a point.
I do. Not a good point.
Just make a point. Yes.
But it's a point nonetheless.
Exactly. A screwy point.
So point for me.
Point, darling.
Hey, who's missed Florida Corner? Thanks for the enthusiasm.
I miss Creedence Clearwater.
Yeah. Hey, a Florida man was arrested after authorities say he attacked his girlfriend with a banana. Philip Joseph Smolinski, 36, was arrested on charges of domestic battery and resisting arrest without violence. Related to the fruit fight. That's according to the Pasco County Sheriff's Office. He was being held without bond. Jail records showed there was that it was unknown whether he has an attorney. When deputies responded to the home, his live-in girlfriend told them that he had thrown a banana at her. He denied the accusation and said she had thrown the banana at him. But the deputy noticed the girlfriend's face was slightly red where she said the banana had hit her. That's according to the arrest affidavit. The deputy also found a banana in the garbage and parts of the peel on the ground. When the deputy tried to arrest him, he resisted and had to be pepper sprayed.
What?
He's expected to make his first court appearance.
This is like
Thursday.
A scene from Cloudy with a Chance 3.
Yeah.
I know. I was thinking, like, if we took the police out of it and everything, it sounds like it could have been a fight with, like, toddlers at a preschool. Like, she threw the banana at me.
She threw the banana at me.
Where's the banana now? It's in the trash. Okay, you guys go to your corners or it's nap time.
And you get pepper sprayed.
I don't understand how adults are having a fight like this that warrants police intervention.
Well, let me tell you, we're not done. Because in another story, two sisters who tried to sell donuts to workers at a busy Pizza Hut, I don't know why you'd do that, were arrested Monday night after police say they sparked a brawl that saw one worker poked in the head with a spatula and a bystander get hit in the face with a pizza.
Oh, that would suck.
Eden Odom and Eternity Odom, both of Jacksonville, went to a Pizza Hut intending to sell donuts to the staff. Officials say the two women twice were asked to leave because the employees were busy. After the second time, Eden Odom went into the back of the store and complained to an employee about how they were being treated. After an argument, the store employee asked the Sioux sisters to leave. Eden then picked up a peach spatula, poked it into the forehead of the female store employee, who began to fight Eden. The report said Eternity at first tried to stop the fight involving her sister, but then she later joined in. Several objects were thrown during the fight, including a kitchen knife and a pizza, which hit a witness in the face.
Boy.
Both sisters were booked in the Columbia County Jail on charges of aggravated battery and trespassing. They were held at the jail in lieu of $6,000 bond. So,
is this a thing, going into businesses and selling donuts?
I don't know.
It's a thing. It's happened, so it's a thing.
Yeah, obviously it's happened.
Don't you know?
Is this a viable business model?
It's not successful. This is what we do know. Not successful. Mm-hmm. So, sorry about that. Now, I promised the camel story, because it is hump day.
What?
I know this camel story because I saw a disturbing picture on Facebook yesterday.
Disturbing? Are you kidding me? It was fantastic.
I'm not sure I know what the story is yet.
Nate's a camel bull.
A camel bull? Is it a camel eating another camel?
No.
Oh.
It's me eating a camel. It's hump day.
I can't believe you ate your friend, hump day camel.
I went to the Flaming Grill, which is a fantastic place. El Camino and Bell, by the way. And they have all sorts of options for dead animals that you'd like to eat. They also have chorizo, homemade chorizo, too, since you mentioned that. And they have regular burgers, but they also have exotic meats. And he's like, oh, here's what we have today. We have camel. And I'm like, really? What's camel like?
Did they say one lump or two when you order it?
Yeah, they were all about puns, Dad.
Oh, they sound funny.
No, it's cute. So he goes, you know, it's kind of like ground beef, but a little bit leaner. And I'm like, you know what? I'll give it a try. I'll try some camel. And it was really good. It was like between bison and cow, if you're looking for what camel tastes like. And when you throw some Swiss and some bacon on top and completely blow... To be fair, Beck, the bun was fantastic, too, so that was okay. That would be the one thing that you'd be cool with, the bun?
Boo.
Not okay with buns?
I'm just booing this whole story. You don't even have respect for your friend the camel and all the happy hump day joy he's brought you that you can't, like, just eat him the first time somebody offers you a chance?
Well, to be fair, it wasn't actually a camel that did this song. It was a dude.
Spoiler alert.
I know, right? But, yeah, that's why I had camel.
False advertising.
I had camel on Saturday night. So if you're looking for something to do on hump day, camel. I highly recommend it. So it's for dinner.
I feel like there's a do a camel joke somewhere in there.
Boo.
I'd walk a mile for a camel burger.
I literally
would. So there you go. Okay. Fine. Becca, would it make you feel better if we talked about talked about some small town news. Would that make you feel?
Yes. You know what? The other night I was catching up on This American Life's because I love that show. And they had a piece of short fiction that was set in Plattsburgh, New York about juvenile delinquents. And the minute they were like, oh, we're in Plattsburgh and we're at the mall. But I was like, oh, I know about Plattsburgh. And I kept waiting to see if Gordy Little would appear in the story, but he did not.
Aw.
Well, yeah, Gordy appears when you least expect him because that's kind of how Gordy works out. So let's go ahead and do this upright.
The Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Small town news.
All right. You mentioned Plattsburgh. Plattsburgh is what you get.
Yay!
Because what would it be without Speak Out?
Yay! Yay! Woo! How many emoticons, smiley emoticons are in this week?
I'm very happy we have snow for you to ride on, but please stay off my lawn. Several snowmobilers went through Moore's Forks, and it was good to hear that rumble again. But when you drove right through my yard, that upset me. Use your trails, please.
Can you even see the trail?
Yeah, their snowmobile trails are marked.
You have to stay
off.
You sound
like that's obvious.
Yeah.
It is obvious.
Are you from California?
Yeah. What are you, from Southern California?
So to be straight, be clear, that was a get off my lawn post.
Okay. It
was.
Hey, amazing that this newspaper allows people print space to whine about the personal problems that only they can resolve. Humorous at times, scary at others. Are these posts for real?
Oh.
That Speak Out was so meta. Speak Out about Speak Out.
I hope it is real.
Oh, it's got to be real. I've read the internet before.
Yeah.
It's real. The entire internet. I read it.
Yeah,
it is. Amazing.
Hey, perhaps since the Crown Point School Board and Superintendent have prevented taxpayers who contribute 17% of the cost per student to vote on school consolidation, Governor Cuomo will allow the New York State residents who pay 83% of the cost to reduce their contribution.
Bob?
I don't think those things follow.
No.
Yeah. Hey, the local drug bust in Plattsburgh was great. Next time, do not do it while kids are waiting for the bus. They do not need to see this type of action.
Action.
What type of action do they need to see?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you complain.
Wait, can you read the last? Go back.
Yes.
Read the last one.
Apology. Route 3 apology. December 18th. Thank you. You are an honorable man. Merry Aww. Christmas.
It's like a misconnection Aww. Got resolved.
It was. That's like the happiest thing that ever happened on Speak Out.
But we're not done. We have more Speak Out.
Yay!
Because we've been away for a while. A certain fast food restaurant should not let the employees who smoke hang out around the building when on break. They all look terrible, and they need to go into a certain area to smoke. And family members shouldn't hang around their work either.
Wow, we can't even name the fast food restaurant. Like, that's how passive aggressive we are. Like,
a certain one.
You know what you did, Wendy's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's one for you, Christiana. People need to teach their children not to run around and disrupt people in public places. I went to a school concert to see the kids on stage, not the ones that were blocking the aisles and running around. Where were the parents?
Smoking out back of the fast food place, obviously.
Hey, Obamacare, there are so many of us that can't afford it and don't want it. The IRS is going to enforce it. They have a news channel pushing it. Our jobs are going part-time or closing. What country do we live in?
America, yeah.
It's true, yeah. We do.
Oh, man, I was editing something like this today, and I totally got one of those. It was about, like, whether or not smoking should be allowed in restaurants, and it was totally like, I thought we lived in America. And I was like, wow, we still say that? But yes, we do.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Well, the cold weather is here. Bicyclists on the road are fewer. Seems like it's their road during the summer. We just let them drive on it. When do they start paying for the bike lanes, etc., with fees like the rest of the world? It's time they pay, too.
It probably pay taxes. Is.
Well, but I mean, bike. Depends what kind of road and what their fee structure is in New York.
But they're also not polluting as much. So.
No, but wear and tear on the road. They're using their facilities. And
They're the worst. What country is this, anyway?
I thought we lived in America.
Obama.
I mean, there should be some kind of fee structure in place for that kind of infrastructure development if we're really trending towards, you know, more unified stuff. What was it? Geek, nerd? I don't know. Both. Dork.
Also, yeah. I got my Obamacare paperwork in the mail yesterday, and I wept tears of joy because of having health care for the first time in 7 years.
Hey, Becca, if you think Obamacare is so great, why did Congress get an exemption? The Democrats read it after they passed it and found those with the high incomes of their office would pay a steep annual premium.
I don't think that's true.
Our intrepid congressman tap danced around this in your recent article.
I don't think any of that's actually
true. No, it's not. It's not true at all.
Snopes thing.
They just got health insurance through work like most people do.
Not enough people who have jobs get insurance.
Still, most of the people who have insurance, that's how they do it. Anyway, hey, being a plow operator in the county, we're only doing our job. So don't yell at us for filling your driveway. We're trying to make the road safe for all drivers. We're not trying to annoy you. Give us a break. We're driveway owners too.
To which I will say to you, plow driver,
yes, but you have a plow.
Yeah.
So you can plow
Checkmate.
Yourself out. Mm-hmm. I've been there. Anyway, I got another one here. Mooching. Here we go.
We'll
finish off with the mooch.
Oh, Bob's in it. Right now.
Retirees are on fixed incomes, but I'm not. Minimum wage, adjusted for inflation, has dropped dramatically since the 60s. Student loans to pay and a family to raise, and I didn't have 40 years of working to save anything. I'm mooching according to the elderly because I can't feed my family.
Elderly
what? Bob.
Old man Bob with your lawn and your
with the lawn
plow.
And the mooching and
Wendy's.
All right, let's finish off with a good one here.
Where are the parents?
I'm watching how hard the guys work at a local restaurant seating people. Any person who thinks this is not work better think again. And so polite and kind to people. My hat's off to you, young man. You do this restaurant justice with your hard work.
Aw.
So there you go.
Yeah.
It's not
hosts.
It's not
they don't
all
get
enough
credit.
Yeah, it's not all jerkiness for that. Just saying.
Aw, I like the happy speak outs.
Happy new speak out year.
Woo. Yeah. It's a happy new speak out year. And that's going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. We've got another one coming up for you on Friday. Find out how I lost my wallet and how I got it back. Ooh. Until then, have a good couple days. Cage the elephant. Approaching me, she said, I never seen a man who looks so all alone. Could you use a little company? If you pay the right price, your evening will be nice and you can go and send me on my way. I said, you're such a sweet young thing, why you do this to yourself? She looked at me and this is what she said, oh, there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. I got bills to pay, I got your money, not your life. If you try to make a move, I won't think twice. I told him you could have my cash, but first you know I gotta ask, what made you wanna live this kind of life? He said that. You know there ain't